B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bagful Boys.
Does that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the Chest.
Oh! All right, ladies and gentlemen. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. The Bankroll Boys are brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings now. Use code SPORTSHUB during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Joe Murray and Dan Livshatz, both the Bankroll Boys. And you have a show that's live Saturday mornings from 7 to 9, and I heard the two of you on Saturday really yelling at each other. And it didn't seem like you were even hearing what each other was saying. You were so upset.
Joe.
Good talk, guys.
Joe?
You're on the radio, gentlemen.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
I'm waiting for Joe to go.
We're off
that's
and running.
I'm letting him out the floor.
All right. The argument had to do with the Red Sox over-under, correct?
No, this had to do with the Patriots draft.
Oh, okay.
No, I have my opinion on the draft. Dan doesn't like it.
No. Okay. My opinion is that you're giving them a no-win situation. That's all.
Okay, guys, can you describe the argument? Tell us what was going on.
I think the word reach might have been...
In reference to what, guys? Come on.
Strange, the pick from the Patriots. Again, people think that these prognosticators and these experts who write about the draft, they thought the Patriots may have reached with all their picks. I actually don't mind the other picks that they made. I just think strange in drafting a guard based off what happened in the playoffs, based off not doing anything in the offseason and trading back in the draft. I just felt like drafting a guard isn't going to help them stop the Buffalo Bills.
And Dan, that upset you?
No, I just disagree. I mean, the prognosticators and the guys who write about the draft are wrong more than the weathermen. I mean, they're literally wrong. Their job is to be wrong. I mean, these guys are wrong 95% of the time about what they say about players, how they actually pan out, and where they're taken. I mean, literally, their job is to be wrong. So I just don't live and die about based upon where Mel Kiper takes a player and what he says he's going to be. Like, in my opinion, it's stupid to judge a player like that. And sure, we talk about the Jets winning the draft every couple years, and yet they can't win more than four games. So I just... You know, I don't really freak out about where guys are taken and who won the draft. And I mean, yeah, it's fun and it's fun to talk about, but like in reality, it means nothing.
But there is an aspect to the draft where, I mean, you can say they're right, they're wrong 95% of the time, but they generally know the vicinity of where someone's going to be drafted. And the idea that that you could have overreached for a player. I mean, they also have I mean, Jerry Jones held it up. I mean, they have a pretty good idea of these teams' boards. Now, the teams are wrong, too. I mean, wrong about players. But you don't think there's anything to be said about when you take a guy in the draft? You're of the mind, if you like him, take him.
I mean,
I just think...
The belief was he's going to be taken at 34 or 36 or 37. So, like, if you like the player and you want him and you're at 29 and you can't trade down to 31 or something.
Why do you believe that, though, Dan? Why do you believe that he would have been taken at one of those other spots if everyone's wrong?
Well, I mean, people had Jermaine Johnson going the top five, and he guys are wrong.
But that's not the point. Yeah, I know, but why do you believe that Strange would have been taken with one of those picks?
I mean, he...
Like, what makes that information more reliable than the information that the other guy... That is good information, and all the other information is bad.
Because he visited Minnesota twice. They ended up trading out, and the rumor was their guy was taken. So, I mean, unless they really, didn't like Strange for whatever reason, it sounded like that. Burt Breer reported that, Tennessee, I think, liked him. and then someone else reported that.
See, but now you're picking again, and choosing, like, but you're picking and choosing the information that you are believing in.
No, I'm just basing it off reports. Belichick said he's going to be taken. The reporters say he's going to be taken, and a couple of the teams that were interested in him traded out. I mean, look, I'm just kind of putting the picture together. It doesn't take a rocket science to kind of figure out, like,
no, but
he's probably
believing...
taken earlier than people thought.
Yeah, but you're believing certain information because it fits your narrative, and you're.
What other information would I not believe?
Why are certain the people that had Cole Strange as a second or third round pick wrong, and this information right? Am I phrasing this correctly, Fred?
Right.
Yes, you are, Johnny.
No, I get what you're saying, but again, they're draft nicks. They're guessing based upon information, so they get fed misinformation all the time. Again, hence Jeremiah Johnson being a top five pick.
Well, there are some reporters that get fed misinformation as well.
Right, but. My point is, why would they don't get fed misinformation after the player is taken. They get fed misinformation before the player is taken because teams are trying to manipulate each other.
You don't think the Patriots, after they took Mac Jones, released any misinformation last year about other teams being interested in him?
I know. Well, I mean,
yeah, massive fight with Jeff Howe over it.
The Saints were openly interested in them. They said as much.
Well, then if you believe Breer, Breer says they were not interested in him at all. And his
Jeff Howe thing a year ago, you know. But well, listen, San Francisco was linked to Mac Jones. It could have been a smokescreen to see if the Patriots traded up. I do agree that the information that's out there could be smokescreens. All I'm trying to say is, if nobody's right, then nobody's wrong in this argument, is all I'm trying to say. It's like, if you feel that way, I feel this way. Like, nobody's right or wrong. It's just that, you know, I do take the time to try to look to see where these guys projected. So if I look at it like I don't know what I'm talking about, then, like, I don't know what I'm talking about, and no, either does anybody else.
But, Dan, you think that's a waste of time.
Yeah,
but, Dan, you think that's ultimately a waste of time.
Yeah, my argument on Saturday, I really had nothing to do with it. I had to do with the fact that Joe's kind of putting Joe and the rest of the Patriots fans are putting Belichick in a box where literally he can't do any right. Because unless he picks a player that you guys all like at the position that you guys all like, and that player has to be good, you're either A, going to kill him for picking the player that you didn't want, the position you didn't want, and if that player isn't good, then you guys all come back 3 years later and say you can't draft. N'Keal Harry's a perfect example, and I love Adam Jones, but he does it all the time. Jones talks about how the Patriots can't draft, loved the N'Keal Harry pick, was really happy with it, you know, on the day they drafted him. Now, 3 years later, kills Bill for picking N'Keal Harry. So it's like, again, no matter what they do, unless they pick a player at a position that you guys like, at the position you guys like, and that player is really, really good, then they can't do it right.
But they've been a poor drafting team. They really have.
Over the past 10 years, based upon pretty much every single rating, they're still a top 10 drafting team. Like, again, the last 5 years have been a little bit down, but the last 2 years... a little bit. Last year was a great draft for them.
A great draft.
Yes, they got Barmore, who could be an elite.
And who was in charge last year of the draft? Who was in charge last year of the draft?
Who was it, Joe?
It was Ziegler.
Says who?
Says everybody that was part of the Patriots last year, who now is in Vegas. See, my thing is, you say that it's the guy that I don't like.
Elliot Wolf came out and said, this is the guy we like. We like this guy. We like this pick. So now you're going to kill them for doing something that they are openly saying,
Fred, this is the argument.
You can't have it both ways. Again, you can't keep...
It's not even about both ways.
You just killed it. You just said Dave Ziegler ran the draft last year. And now Elliot Wolf says,
Who was the GM of the Patriots last year? Who was the GM of the Patriots? It was Ziegler.
Okay.
Ziegler made the picks. Now Groh's making the picks. They have a new philosophy now, right? Can we all admit that they go off this ranking now? Like, this is the whole story this week, is that they're going off this athletic ranking. They've changed the way that they draft.
Okay.
Bill's back in charge again.
Says who?
That's what bothers me.
Says who?
Says Bill Belichick, who makes picks without talking to his scouting staff.
You want to bring up
N'Keal Harry? That's an exact example.
Okay. How do you know that? Again, you use the information
You know that?
Because they said it. They said, we like this guy.
How do you know it? Like, that's my whole point here. It's your opinion, my opinion. We don't know. I don't know. I go off what I read. You just go by disagreeing.
No, they said it openly. They literally, we can pull the quotes. They said, we like, I mean, they grow, literally
go
said,
ahead.
And defended the picks.
Pull the quotes, because I'm pretty sure Ziegler was in charge last year.
Says who? Again,
if I'm wrong, then I'll die on the hill.
Okay, again, Joe, you're picking and choosing. You know how to approach it. Bill sucked. It wasn't Bill's draft last year. So what they got right is it wasn't for Bill. But if they get anyone this year, it just doesn't make any sense.
Bill wanted to draft Mac Jones at 15.
Because
what were the reports?
I don't think he wanted to draft Mac Jones at 15. I don't think he did. But
who made the pick?
Probably the owner last year. It was probably the owner's call. But again, and this year, do you think Cole Strange was his guy? Did he go to the Chattanooga Pro Day? Was he there scouting the guy personally?
Probably.
He wasn't. So you just made an assumption off something that's not even true. He wasn't there. You said probably. There you go. Probably. So again, probably he wasn't there. How do you know that was his pick? How do you know it wasn't Groh's pick? How do you know it wasn't Wolf's pick? How do you know whose pick it was? This is my point. Like, you just pick and choose when you want to blame someone. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
That's the argument, Fred. It's not about me picking and choosing. It's about the information that's out there.
Okay. The information about Strange is wrong because we shouldn't listen to that information, but we should listen to your information.
Forget about me. Take my name out of it. Name somebody that had Strange in the first round.
There are a bunch of dudes who had Strange in the first round.
Who?
There are a bunch of draft
picks. Who selected him?
I never saw him.
He went 29.
There were a bunch of dudes who had Strange on the border of the first round, either right in the top of the second or right in the first round.
I didn't see him. I will
put them up on Twitter for you guys later today. 100%.
I read a lot of this stuff. I didn't see anybody who had him at the top of the second round, let alone the first.
There were multiple guys who had it in the top of the second or bottom of the first.
You were reading stuff I didn't read.
I didn't see it either.
There were multiple guys who had it, okay? Strange's over-under in Vegas was 86.5. There were only two places that had it, FanDuel and one other local PPH book, okay? And, it was 86.5 on Wednesday. By Thursday, the day of the draft, it was 36.5. Everyone who had some sort of idea knew that this was coming. I mean, again, you guys say like, no one had any idea. But all the draft picks who I've talked to had an idea because a lot of them had Strange under.
Who have you talked to?
It doesn't matter. I'm not going to put that out there.
Okay, Dan. But Dan.
Again.
The whole argument, Joe's right. I mean, you are picking and choosing the information that you believe.
Okay.
Because
you're picking and choosing the information you believe. You guys are literally picking and choosing it.
I'm not involved in the argument. But what I'm saying is that here's the thing, is that you have your sources that you believe are correct. And they very well could be. But that, I think, and then you get very frustrated when people, because you feel like they're following a mob mentality when you have these sources that are like in the know. Am I right?
No, this has nothing to do with that. I mean, again, what source took Cole Strange from 86.5 and moved him to 36.5?
I don't know.
There's no source. That was the movement on the line. So the line went from 86.5 to 36.5. What would that tell you?
I just wanted you two to argue again. All right. When we come back.
I knew that.
Yes, I did.
I knew that.
All right. Do you guys bet on the Kentucky Derby?
I will, yeah.
Dan, do you bet on the Kentucky Derby?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, we'll get Joe's opinion on that. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs and all of that and more coming up in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
It sounds like the biggest nightmare. And why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Toucher and Rich. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program, the Bankroll Boys. Dan Lifshatz and Joe Murray. The people enjoy you guys arguing. I got to say it. The people on Twitter like you guys arguing, which is what you can hear live 7 to 9 Saturday mornings for the Over Under 98.5 podcast. And you guys, say what you will, but you guys informed me years ago about Zach Wilson. And Zach Wilson, I guess that's the big one. You guys watch a lot of college sports. You love to gamble on college football. Some people have six quarterbacks or something like that going in the first round next year. Who, just right now, because the draft just happened, who should we be keeping our, obviously, I mean, the kid from Ohio State, we all know that. But who should we be keeping our eyes on next season?
Stroud is the favorite, C.J. Stroud that you mentioned, and Bryce Young from Alabama, Heisman Trophy winner. He's probably going
to have a loaded year. He's undersized. You guys like him.
I mean, I like him in college.
He's small. There's the kid out of Kentucky, Will Levis, is probably going to be a top 5 to 10 pick. He was very good last year, so he'll probably be, you know, assuming he doesn't have the same type of, you know, drop off that Howell does, he'll probably be a pick. And then Spencer Rattler, who is transferring over to South Carolina, is another guy that probably should pay attention to. And then Phil Dracovic of BC.
I was just going
to
say, that BC kid, I mean, apparently the scouts love his – he's obviously
was
got
he
the
a Notre
size.
Dame? Yes. Was he a Notre Dame
yes.
kid?
Okay. Transfer, yep. Yes.
Yeah. Did you guys know – you probably did, but I heard about it for the first time yesterday – the history of the – quarterback out of Ole Miss that was not taken until later than some people thought, that he got kicked out of high school for fighting Wayne Gretzky's son?
Wow.
Did you guys know that?
No. I know.
What's the kid for? Go ahead.
No, I said he tested positive for, apparently tested positive for hard drugs, and that's why he fell.
Yeah, he has a history of drug abuse, but I heard Ian Rappaport, by the way, this is, do you guys ever listen to the Pat McAfee podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, I do a lot.
Does AJ Hawk talk, or is it like a joke?
Oh, he's like a hangout boy. Yeah.
All right. But
McAfee,
does he,
I do like, though. I
don't
like
know. That. I know. But does AJ Hawk, I meant to ask someone this, is it like a joke that he's on the podcast and he just doesn't talk ever, or does he occasionally talk?
Good question.
Because every time I see a McAfee thing, because they had on, oh, God, the guy that used to work here that's with the NFL Network now, not Giardi, but the national guy, Rappaport, I think. Probably. Yeah, and he was talking about the history of this kid from Ole Miss, but every time I see a Pat McAfee show clip, it has A.J. Hawk on one side of it, but he literally never says, I've never heard him say anything. But he does, you're telling me, talk.
Occasionally, but yeah, he's probably not there for talking.
Okay.
He's probably there for muscle.
All right. Be Real said he tried to fight Gretzky's son, but Marty McSorley's son jumped in to protect him. So there you have it. A little 80s hockey talk for you. All right. So you guys are. Dan, you do not bet on horse racing. You do not like that type of betting.
I'm not good. I really don't know anything about it. There are a few guys who I know who are good. Joe happens to be one of them. He's picked, I think, one of the guys that, like, place in the Derby almost every year. I think last year was the only guy. Last year was the only year he didn't. But Joe's pretty good at it. I'm awful at it. I don't think I've ever picked a Derby winner.
All right.
I just get information. That's really it.
You love the paramutual wagering, and you get information. You get information from Mr. Pickles, or where is this information?
No, the guys who are there, the prognosticators.
Okay,
but no, it comes down to how these horses placed in the races beforehand. I won't bore you with it, but really, the things with the Derby is where they post, so they announce the post winners, horses. So the number 5 spot has won 10 times. The number 10 spot has won 9 times, and the number 7 spot has won 8 times.
And the favorite is in the 10 spot this year.
They like the number 1 post because they've been in there longer, and generally with a little space, they can move faster. So Mo Dangle is in that spot, who's one of the favorites. I'll just give you a horse. I think Epicenter, who is the favorite, wins. You know, Donegal's going to be in there. And I won't bore you with these horse names. They're some of them are funny, but I'm going with Epicenter to win.
Okay, so Epicenter to win.
And Donegal to probably place.
Mo Donegal to place. All right, there you go. So if you're going to wager on this, Epicenter, he does like the... How often does the favorite win? Is it most of the time the favorite wins?
A couple of times. Yeah, last year it did not win.
Okay. All right. You have here the favorites to be the next Lakers coach. Darvin Ham, if you ever played any kind of Sega basketball, you know Darvin Ham as being someone you didn't want on the court. But who do you have here as the you sent it to me, the next Lakers coach? What are you guys hearing?
You got one, Dan?
I do not. I thought it might end up being Mark Jackson initially, but it sounds like he didn't have any interest in working with LeBron, which is good for him.
Yes, actually good for him. Dan, LeBron, what do you know?
LeBron's 150-1 odds to be the next coach. If you did want to bet that. But I don't know. I got this feeling Doc Rivers is going to get canned in with the 76ers. He's going.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's going to the Lakers, and I feel like Kyrie's going to end up there too. It's just I got this, like, weird feeling. No information. Just weird feeling that that's going to happen.
Why would do you think the 76ers would fire him even though Embiid's hurt?
Yeah, because he left him on the court late in the game, which he's getting heat for it.
Okay.
That's how he got there.
All right. Do you think Doc Rivers is a good coach?
I do, but there, you know, he finally got over the hump, but then left his best player in the game too long. I think he's a good coach, but in the playoffs, woof.
What's that, Dan?
I do not. I think he's an awful head coach. I think he's bottom five in the league.
Really?
Yep. I think he just continues to do well because he goes on good teams with good players and then blows it in the playoffs. He's maybe the worst player. He would be the last coach I would take in the playoffs.
Yes, he does have a spotty record there. All right, gentlemen. Thank you. It is Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. And if you're wondering where Rich has been, he's cutting up our, is it a band, bad band or a racehorse segment that we do every year around the Kentucky Derby. So that is coming up at 8 o'clock. I've never seen someone look happier than Lifshatz right now.
I'm fine. I was watching Embiid get hit in the eye.
He's a man who wants to leave.
Not a dragon. Right.
I'm watching Embiid get hit. I'm fine. I'm just watching Embiid get hit in the eye. That's
your resting face. All right, I got it.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have RBF.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
good to see you, Dan.
Thank you for coming in. We'll be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Show means nothing.
Here are Toucher and Rich.
You just avoid. Go for the jugular.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. Be listening at 7:55 this morning for your chance to score a one-night stay package for Encore Boston Harbor in honor of Encore winning two Forbes Travel Guide five-star awards. Encore is proud to be part of Titletown. Encore Boston Harbor, a Forbes Travel Guide five-star award winner for both hotel and spa, and proud to have the highest-rated steakhouse in Boston. And I'll tell you this, Dan Lifshatz was in no mood after the first segment.
Can I just say something? Because I was stepped out because I was editing something. Let me just quickly plug it, because I know this is something our listeners enjoy. 8 o'clock, because the Kentucky Derby this weekend, our annual, once a year, the return of Is It a Racehorse or a Bad Local Band? Mm-hmm. We will be doing that at 8 o'clock, but that's what I was getting ready for, and so I didn't hear all the stuff that was going on. All I know is I walked in, and there was some weird-ass tension that was palpable in the studio, which is hysterical, seeing that, you know, one of the Bankroll Boys isn't even here. He was on, you know, Zoom.
Right.
But I guess there was some tension between Lifshatz and Wallach that was going on during the commercial break. Am I right about that?
Yeah, we kind of hammered things out during the break. Dan's opinion was the NFL draft really doesn't matter. There are so many busts in the first round that, you know, where you take guys really doesn't matter. And I tried to explain to him that that's wrong in about seven different ways. And then he tried comparing it to all the other drafts. And I said, well, Dan, the NFL draft is different than all the other drafts. All the other drafts, you know, there are times where you're drafting guys as a projection, especially Major League Baseball and hockey. You're not drafting guys for now.
But I understand.
That was the argument back and forth.
But is there a point after you do that stuff on the air when the commercial break comes around where it just doesn't matter anymore?
Well, no, apparently.
We know this.
Dan gets. Yeah, I know. Rich and I will like yell at each other on the air, and then.
But the question is, like, all right, it doesn't matter.
Well, then, no, I mean, you can't be. You can't work with someone 20 hours a week talking and carry over arguments. I mean, you're going to argue and you're going to have to get over it. But yeah, Dan Lifshatz, but his whole brain is working on like a level, I guess like a set of values and things that are important that I don't know about. So like he'll get mad about things or withhold information about things. And I really don't know what's going on because I'm not in his head.
Well, I mean, he's got the inside info. I mean,
it ultimately comes down to this is that, and I truly believe this to be true, and he will argue with it that it's not. But in Dan Lifshatz's mind, Dan knows the guys. Dan has the info and the knowledge and, you know, argue with him or disagree with him at your own peril because you're just listening to the herd while, you know, he knows
what the truth is. Right. Yeah. I get that. And
to the point of it's he's a really condescending guy. But I get it because in his mind, like, he's like, why am I doing this? Like, you guys are idiots. You know, go, you know, dance around with your stupid contests.
Although, maybe he's right. And wouldn't that frustrate you, Fred, if you knew
the
truth?
Yes, that's what I just said.
And nobody else knew. Wouldn't you? You know, it might come across as condescending, but is it condescending if you are indeed right? If you're right,
But I also don't know, like, I'll go, who told you? Like I said, who told you this?
Yeah.
And he's like, I won't tell you.
Shh, can't say that.
I would help him if maybe he shared that, but I don't know, and I also don't know why, if you told Dan something about the draft, why, like, you wouldn't want your name out there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's not illegal. Or maybe it is.
I don't know. All I know is that that you can, there's certain times where you just can feel that things are going to go down. Like, if you ever walked into a bar, and you had this weird feeling that at any moment, there could be a fight. Like, you just know almost the instant you walk in.
It's Windsor, Ontario, and they allow kids to drink.
I had that feeling before the break even started.
Well, I wanted them to argue.
No, he wound them up and cut them loose. No, I was watching that, and it was about 10 minutes of good stuff right there.
Because they yelled at each other on Saturday morning, and I thought it was interesting. So, like, first of all, to get those two going is pushing a boulder uphill. But I'm trying to wind them up, and they're literally not saying anything. And then I finally got them to argue. But then I think I said something that upset Dan, but I don't know what it is because, again, he's working on a different set of parameters than me. Like what would be offensive to him would not be offensive to you or anyone else that I know. Because, again, he's working with a different set of rules. But I do think it's very frustrating for Dan because he, like, knows everything and we're kind of just tripping all over ourselves listening to, you know, ESPN while he, like, really knows what's going on.
I mean, listen, everyone gets into fights over dumb things. But, I mean, if you really look at it, like, arguing about, like, stuff that, I mean, being picked a couple of spots too high, is that what it was all over? It was just about, like, the draft position?
But, again, I don't understand, like, his brain. Like, I don't, but to him, to him, what happened was, like, not good. But, like, if you ask John or I to tell you why, I couldn't do it.
That escalated very quickly. Yes.
Someone said you can never ask Dan Lifshatz to reveal his sources. That's like asking a woman you've never met how much she weighs. It's true. It's insulting. You can't do that. It's
like, yeah, but like, why? but like, you, like, why? You know, I don't know. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. We'll crack that. We'll crack that egg soon.
No, we won't. Really, I mean, he'll shut down.
Yeah.
He shuts down. He gets all mad. It happens regularly. He gets mad. He gets mad at me, and then he shuts down, and I don't know why he's mad at me.
Well, I mean, yeah, all I know is that from the beginning of the break before it started to the end of it, there was a tension. And when I left, there was definitely a tension. And I guess that after the mics went off, there was a little more back and forth. John is nodding his head. That is indeed what happened.
Yep.
Nice spirited debate.
It was a spirited sports debate. Yes.
Mm, yes. Very true.
Now, do they hang out, Joe and Dan, still? Or did they ever?
I don't know.
I don't know if they hang out. I know that they're obviously cordial.
No, I mean, they're friendly. I mean, we've gone out on show functions with those guys.
And, yeah, I know. Yeah. But did they start off as, like, friends?
We put them together. Because we knew that both of them were big. I mean, at least like as a pair, mm-hmm. because we knew that both of them would talk about gambling all the time on Twitter.
So we did it.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I know that we paired them up. I don't know if they were already friends, but, you know, we paired them up and called them the Bankroll Boys. And it was because, like, you know, I think it was because Dan had gotten in a fight with somebody on Twitter about whether or not his picks were ridiculous or something. And we're like, okay, well, Dan's a great personality. Let's see if we can do it. But we also knew that Joe Murray was somebody who loved to talk about gambling. And there was, that time that he was gambling on one of the games and he lost his mind on the air.
That's the beginning of the intro.
And I was like, let's get these two together, you know, and call them the Bankroll Boys.
Okay, I didn't realize that was they were your creation.
No, I didn't know that either.
I thought, it's been so long at this point.
Yeah.
I was under the assumption that they somehow were friends, and I was wondering if this business relationship has queered the friendship.
This is actually a funny line. Someone said, asking Dan Lifshitz where he got his information is like asking someone from North Carolina where they got your phone number.
Yes, exactly. They cannot tell you that information.
No, you can't do that because that gentleman would be very, very angry.
No, but or how he got our boss's phone number.
Are you getting the what for from any Carolina people? Or,
no.
You see, I think that they're just resigned that this is going to be an ass-kicking. Maybe Carolina fans, it's not even worth, like, you know,
also,
tweeting you.
Also, Raleigh, come to find out, Raleigh is about as far from Charlotte as we are from New York City.
Oh, boy.
So, like, no, yeah, it's like 2.5 hours away, apparently.
Boy. So the Hurricanes were in Raleigh, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
They played so, like, North Carolina State Building.
I thought they're in Raleigh.
Plus, the kid that's the Bailey guy from Charlotte is really not popular. So, like,
if he called his army to do something, it would be
it has created not a ripple. Like, there has I've heard from no Bailey fans about me.
The Bailey acts?
Yeah. So nothing from them. And nothing from people in Raleigh. I honestly think strangely enough, hanging up on if you don't know, I hung up on a Carolina writer 3 years ago during this very series. And I said I hung up on him because he had a Southern accent. I hung on him really because it was so boring. But strangely enough, as much as that pissed people off 3 years ago, they don't remember. Now, which is a lesson, ladies and gentlemen, is that when people are all outraged on the internet about something and the chances of them actually being outraged by it come a couple days later is going to be very, very small. So all the people that sent literal death threats, and not there weren't a lot of them, but there were at least a couple, they don't care anymore. It was enough for them to threaten to, in an obtuse way, kill me.
Oh, no, friend.
Oh, no, there
obtuse
was
way. There's
okay, yeah, there were real ones.
We got direct threats.
Yeah. Well, they were mostly directed at me. But if they are still with us, it was enough for them to threaten to kill me 3 years ago. But now they don't even remember. That's a hair trigger temper right there.
Yes,
is if it's enough for you to you know, email out some death threat. But then 3 years later, it doesn't even register on your radar. That's...
Well, at least according to the way it sounds like you believe things are going to go, even if they were giving you death threats, it wouldn't last much longer. It doesn't seem like the series is going to...
No, and I mean, listen, I don't get paid by the Bruins, so I'm not on the team.
Well, is there anything you've seen, anything that you've seen that makes you think that this Bruins team can extend this series? Like, is there?
No.
I've not seen anything that says that they are able to keep up with these guys in a foot race.
No, and now all I'm interested in is how severe the changes are in the offseason. Because
you can't run
Sweeney doesn't have a contract.
Yeah, you have no. The GM is without a contract. You can't run this outfit back again with everyone a year older. So you need to make changes.
So there, I mean, and now and I mean, if you want to analyze the games, not you guys, but I mean, if people want us to analyze the games, here's my analyzing. Carolina's a way better team. Okay, that's and I knew that at the beginning of the year, and I know it now. They're a way better team. And you're not going to win the series.
But doesn't it piss you off that they're doing this with not only their backup goalie, but also the backup to their backup goalie?
I mean, that's got to be part of you that thinks the Bruins
should have at least been good enough.
I'm indifferent on the team. They lost me in the offseason. They had an opportunity to change a bunch of crap, and they didn't. And by the way, every time I say they blew the offseason, people go, like, Linus Ullmark, who, by the way, it's a bad signing. He hasn't played well, so it's a bad signing. That's a bad sign. But that's as if that's the only thing they did. They signed Nick Foligno to a multi-year deal. He's atrocious. Like the players they signed suck. They wasted the offseason.
Ullmark was a good signing, but that was mid-season. You're right. The offseason they missed. I think Ullmark's a good signing. It sucks, obviously.
Simply because of the way he played to make sure they got in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think Ullmark was a good signing 4 years.
To give him four years?
I think it was a bad signing.
Yeah, the fact that he's here.
For what? To lose in the first round of the playoffs? They would have lost in the first round of the playoffs anyway.
Well, I mean, they needed more than just Ullmark. They need a lot more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that, well, they shouldn't have signed Ullmark, and they could have used that money to get him to get it actually better. You got a goaltender that's going to...
But they needed another defenseman. I mean, that was one of the main things they needed, and they spent money at the right place.
No, Ullmark, the goaltender.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Lindholm. Sorry, I misspoke. Lindholm, I thought was a good mid-season signing.
Whatever.
No.
I'm talking about the offseason. I'm talking about the offseason. I'm talking about the goaltender.
No, I'm with you, and I've been with you since the beginning. I thought that that was a head-scratcher. And you know what? This is the place where he could have proven himself. If he would have gotten there and stolen a couple of games, and listen, maybe he will, although it looks like Swayman's most likely going to start game three. You have to start him.
You got to switch goaltenders.
That's the only thing that could really have justified his signing in the offseason.
Yes.
So,
if he would have been a playoff-winning goaltender.
Yeah.
Yes, that would have justified it. I would have said I was wrong, but I was not wrong. So this whole I was disgusted with them this offseason. And I'll be disgusted with them. I mean, they're firing Sweeney. I mean, there's got to be a reason he doesn't have a contract. I mean, it's not like Sweeney is this would have been done. I mean, it is what it is.
Do you think Neely's in danger?
Yeah, I don't know. I never even thought of it until yesterday.
That's a weird one. Yeah.
I don't even know what he does. Like, what is his role? I'm not actually positive.
I just always tie him in with the personnel decisions, like with Sweeney. I just think that they're in cahoots together, and it's almost like, you know, is he still respected amongst ownership enough to keep him around?
I would think if the Bruins had bottomed out and they were way under 500, like when you first started getting season tickets, Fred, if they were as bad as they were when Dave Lewis was the head coach, yeah, you might look at Cam Neely, but they weren't. They were 50-25 in regulation. I mean, I think we're going a little far off board here.
I think he should go.
It's the same with me. It's just if your problem is with how this roster has been built, with some of the decisions in the offseason, you know, it's not like the blame is going to be 100% on Don Sweeney. There's got to be a little piece of the pie that goes to Cam Neely, and I'm wondering just how much ownership thinks that piece of the pie is. How big they think it is, and how much he is responsible for that.
Or how much they care, or how much they want to, you know, how much they want to deal with it. Because Cam Neely, it seems like at least, is in a role of you handle it. Like, you know, he's got, like, some job with the team that it just seems like he's ownership by proxy.
Jumbo home-cooked meatball.
Yeah, that was his, you know, That's the price you got to pay for locking us out, man.
Sausage sandwich.
I want a free sausage sandwich.
How many Hall of Famers have had to go do something like that?
I felt bad.
I mean, you see the stuff, see the stuff Gordy Howe is doing at the end of his life?
No, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Neely has a long way to go. He's not old and doddering. I mean, this guy is, what, 55? I mean, come on.
All right, caller number five. If he's only 55, wow. Caller number five right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a one-night stay package for Encore Boston Harbor in honor of Encore winning 2 Forbes Travel Guide 5-star awards. Encore is proud to be part of Tylertown. Encore Boston Harbor, a Forbes Travel Guide 5-star award winner for both hotel and spa, and proud to have the highest-rated steakhouse in Boston. When we come back, is it a bad band or a racehorse? Our annual bit, we'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.